Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Amen. We praise God for being here today. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise God because, amen, if you're listening to me right now, you are blessed in Jesus' name. Not because of my voice, it's not because of anything of me, but because if you are listening to my voice, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise on today. Amen. We thank God again. We thank God for being here in Jesus' name. Another wonderful, wonderful Saturday afternoon, morning, wherever you're listening to me from. I'm not going to all of our listeners around the world. I'm not going to do a Bishop Carver, amen, but all of our listeners around the world, we thank you for tuning in today,
amen,
on this beautiful Saturday. Amen. Today, I want to do something today. The Lord has pressed upon my spirit, but before I do that, I want to give honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, in Jesus' name, giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, amen, Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name. Also giving honor to my pastor, my first lady, in Jesus' name, my pastor and first lady, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and First Lady Cosette Trotman Tuggle. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. And all of the Spirit Alive family, all of my Spirit Alive family, amen, in their rightful places, giving honor to all of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have a blessing. We have a blessing in the midst of us on today. Amen. You might say, well, we have a blessing in the midst of us. What are you talking about? Is it a testimony? Is it a, what is the blessing? The blessing is that we have a topic today that is key for everybody today. And we're going to talk about today the identity of love. Amen. We're going to be talking about the identity of love. Love is a blessing. Love can be shown in every area of life to every person, whether they be male, female, whether they be saint or sinner. Love can be shown. So this is a blessing from the Lord that comes from God himself. He is the key factor in this word called love. And we're going to look at the identity of love. And the reason why I say God is the key factor is because we're going to go to scripture and find where love came from. We've talked about this before, but I want to go even deeper in this identity of love. Because love is shown in many different forms. Many different forms. It has one identity, but it is shown in many different forms. There is factors in love. Love doesn't waver. Love doesn't have favoritism or anything like that. But there are things that love is, and there are things that love is not. Amen. Okay. And we're going to show you in the Word of God what love truly is. So we're going to start off in John, 1 John, chapter 4, and we're going to read one verse. And this verse, it comes from the book of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8. Verse number 8 clears the identity of love. It lets us know what the identity of love is. Amen. I said we're going to see what the identity of love is and the factors of the identity of love. The key things that love does for us and how love is supposed to be shown in the areas of our life. Amen. In 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8, it reads, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." I'm going to read verse 9 to you too. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we live through him." These two verses shows us what love is. It shows what love can do. It shows what love really, really the identity of love. I want to go to another scripture in John, and y'all already know where I'm going. John 3:16. Because in 1 John chapter 4, it talked about the only begotten Son. Well, we're going to talk about that in John 3:16. Very familiar passage of scripture. You see it in football fields. You see it in football games on their signs. John 3:16. Well, this is what it's talking about. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, when we look at these two verses, when we look at the verse in John 3:16 and we look at the verses in 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we see the identity of love. We know what love is. We know who love is. And we see the factors of love being shown. We see the act of love being shown towards mankind through God. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. We know that God sent his Son. That was a form of love. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he prayed and he said, "Let this cup, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." But nevertheless, he did not, the physical body did not want to die. His physical self did not want to die. But nevertheless, he said, "If it be thy will, let this cup pass me." The cup that he was talking about was death. But if it don't pass me, I'll take on what, because he knew what was coming. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew the death that he would have to face. But he faced it out of love for us. This was the act of love. And in acts of love, love can do some things, some amazing things, especially if it's love personified, especially if it's love unconditional. If it's love unconditional, Love can do some amazing things. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sin. Love can do some amazing things. Now, I know it says in the King James Version, in that verse where it says love covers a multitude of sin, it says charity covers a multitude of sin, but charity is another word for love. This is the identity of love. Now, what is love in factors? What do you mean love in factors? Different areas of our life. We have love being shown in family. The Bible clearly tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We have love shown in family, love shown in the church. We have love being shown. Now, there's a difference between love and lust. Now, when we talk about love and we talk about lust, because there's so many people out there that think they know what love is, and love is not what's being shown. Love is not being personified, but it's lust. We can get those two mixed up. It starts with the same letter, L, two different things. And the way society has the identity of love is way different from God's identity of love. Because God's love is unconditional. Society's love is what you can do for me. It's love. It's conditional. It's a conditional love. It's whatever you can do for me. I watched a video on TikTok, and this young lady was going on a date with this young man, and this young man was very, very nice, very, very, he wasn't trying to show this young lady lustful, he wasn't lustful or anything, he wasn't trying to do anything harmful to this young lady, but the young lady was she was very, very rude about what in her approach to this man. This man tried to take her out to dinner and all this stuff, but she was very ungrateful. And she, in her own way, she thought that she didn't need to be taken to a certain restaurant because of the way she looked and the way she was, and it was all about her. But this young man was very, very much a gentleman about the situation. He showed love unto her, even when she wasn't so lovable. That's what love, when it's godly love and when it's love sent from God. Love can do some amazing things. Love can love in spite of the way a person is. Love can love somebody even though that person is not so lovable. Love can love a person. Love can even love your enemies. When it's godly love, when it's sent from God, love can love your enemies. Let me give you an outlook on where love can love your enemies. The Bible lets us know that God asked for forgiveness from mankind from the cross. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They pricked his beard. They beat on him. They spit on him. They put him on a cross. They crucified him. They called him every name in the book. But yet he still had love enough to say, forgive them, for they know not what they do. From the cross, in pain, in agony, he still said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was love personified, unconditional love. That was the identity of love. That's where love can love your enemies. people that fight against you. The Bible lets us know that we must show love to one another, even when we're not so lovable. But first, the first thing that you have to know about love is to be able to love somebody else, you first have to love God first. You have to love God and then love yourself to be able to show somebody else love. You might say, well, how can I show myself love? Because there's some people out there, and I don't know who I'm talking to today, but today there might be somebody listening to me right now that says, well, I don't even love myself. And I'm here to encourage you today. I'm not here to jump and holler and scream and all that today. I'm not doing that today. We talking about love today. See, when we talk about love, love is a tool that can move mountains. Love moves sin out the way so we can have right to the tree of life. Love can do a lot of things. And look, let me break this down. Let me show you the characteristics of love. Now, I showed you one characteristic of love by when Jesus went to the cross. He loved his enemies enough. He loved the whole world enough. We saw that in John 3:16. But let me show you, love can be shown in every area of our life. And I'm about to show you in our family life, with our family. The Bible lets us know that, hey, when you have a family, you must show love. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. And I've taught on this before about the love between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Now, we're gonna start Ephesians chapter 5. We're gonna start at verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5. This is the love between a man and a woman. Okay? We're going to start at verse 21. All right. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything. Husbands, this is... Now, watch this. Now, I hear a lot. Now, I'm going to stop right here before I read 25. I'm going to stop right here. I hear a lot of men say that they want their wives to submit to them. But in submission, you got to have something to submit to. In love, love will have you submit to something that you love. We submit ourselves. The Bible says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We submit. We love God enough to submit ourselves to God, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's the mission. But God gave us something to submit to. Before we submit ourselves, God gave us something to submit to. What did he give us? He gave us everlasting life. He gave us a better life. If you follow, he said, if you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. If you follow me, I'll give you a better life. This is what he gives. This is why we're submitting ourselves under God. That's the same thing with the wife. The wife has to have something to submit to. The husband has to give them something to submit to. And if you look, and the wife has to give something to for the man to submit to. The man must submit to sometimes. See, that's where they leave that part out, because the Bible says in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, that does not mean that the husband is not the head of the home because he submits to his wife. I'm going to give you a key factor in submission of the husband to the wife. When your wife tells you, honey, you need to go to the doctor. You had it checked out, and then that husband over there saying, no, I'll be all right. Knowing full well you hurt me. I'm just giving you an example, because I've done this. Me, Adam Tuttle, has done this. My wife has told me, maybe you need to go to the doctor and get that looked at. You need to go, you're having problems with your heart, go get it looked at. I don't want to go. I don't want to go because I don't want to sit in the hospital. If your wife is telling you something right, submit yourself. That's what I mean by submitting yourself one to another. If your wife is telling you, now, I could see if your wife was like Job's wife and telling you to curse God and die, you don't submit to that. But it is, in submission also, in love, is coming together, talking it out with one another, discussing, having a communication with one another and saying, say you're discussing bills, and this is something that I've done in my own marriage. I've sat there and talked to my wife about certain things that are going on in the home, about the children, about whatever it might be, whatever the conversation might be about. But that is submission. That is a form of submission. Being able to come to making two brains come to one agreement. You got two heads coming to one agreement. You got the wife's ideas and the husband's ideas. You got one saying, well, baby, I don't think we should do it this way. Or, baby, well, I don't think we should do it that way. Y'all coming together, okay, well, if we both saying that we can't do it this way, which way can we take? Which way can we agree on to take? Somebody got to submit to something. Otherwise, you're going to have chaos. Otherwise, this is what it is. This is a part of love. This is a part of the identity of love. God committed himself. God submitted himself to the cross for us so that we might be. God is the head. God is the head of the church. But he submitted himself. That's why he said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want, his natural side did not want to die. But he took on the cross to make sure that we, as mankind, were taken care of spiritually. The same thing with a husband and a wife. Love will have you do some amazing things. You gotta have something. As a husband and a wife, you have to have something to give. You have to have something for that person to submit to. You even have to have something as a father or a mother. You have to have something for them children to submit to. Uh-oh. Well, No, I don't. They're my children. They are living in my house. They did it. Okay, and you still got to have something for them to submit to make you, to make them want to respect you as a man or a woman, because they can live in your house and not respect you. But you got to give them something to give. To give, you got to give them something to respect. My boys, see, what I did with my boys is the first thing I did with my oldest son is I said, the first thing I did, the first lesson I taught my oldest son was, your mama should never have to take out the trash. There are four boys in this, there are four men in this house. There are four males in this house. Your mama should never have to take out the trash. And she don't, to this day. Since we've been married, since I've taught my oldest son that, she has never had to take out the trash. Now, she might have to accompany my two youngest to the trash can or whatever, but she never just had to physically take out the trash. Why? Because you have to give something to submit to. Now, my wife could have said, no, I'm doing that because, you know, I grew up, you know, I didn't have a man taking out the trash for me. Because, and she could have done that, but she submitted herself. She submits herself to my boys taking out the trash. Why? Because I gave her something to submit to. Oh, that's a nice favor. That's a nice gesture to me. I ain't got to take out no trash. Okay. And I'm just using this as an example. The identity of love. This was a form of the identity of love. This was a form of love unto my wife. And this is a form of love from my children to their mother, saying, hey, mama, you ain't got to do this. You have to give the people something to submit to, even in the church. Even in the church. Because I'm just talking about family, but even in the church, God, just because you have the term, the word, or the title, pastor, bishop, elder, deacon, or whatever title you have in front of your name, does not make you that. You have to give, and I've never been a pastor. Don't want to be, never been, don't want to be. Never been a bishop. Never been. I don't care about titles. Minister Adam Tuggle happened to fall on me when I was 17, when I decided to stop running from God. And the Lord actually called me to the ministry. But I didn't even want that. I ran from that. I ran from it. But it's not the title that makes you. You make the title. What do you mean? When you say you love somebody, it's not the words love that makes you to make you love. It's the action that makes that word love a very phenomenal word. It's not the word father that makes the man a father. It's the action behind the word father. Jesus is our father because the actions behind what Jesus has done for us that makes him our father. For God so loved the world that he made himself a body, and he put his spirit in that body and put that body in the womb of a virgin because he knew that sin was in the camp of mankind. And he wanted to take away, he knew nothing else could take away the sins of mankind. He knew that sin was separating us from him. So he took the action of love and said, you know what, I'm going to step out of 42 generations. I'm going to step out of 42 generations, and I'm going to come and die myself. I'm going to step out of royalty, and I'm going to come into the world, and I'm going to live for 33 and a half years, and I'm going to die for the sins of mankind. This is what love really is. This is love in action. This is what love is. And it's the same love that we must show to our friends, to our family, to our brothers and our sisters, to our mothers and our fathers. This is the same love. You must show the love of God first to your husband, to your wife. Because you can't love nobody without the love of God. Because God is love. That's the identity of love. You can't. Now, you might say, well, how can I love my wife? How can I love my wife or my husband when I'm when? Because there's different types of love. We've talked about the different love languages. Eros love, philia love, amen, agape love, that's godly love, amen, love between friends, love between family. But these are all different types of love in the identity of love. What love? God. In the identity of God. Because God is love. But he showed all of that love. He showed all of that love at one time from the cross. He showed all of those types of love from the cross when he gave his life. It is my job as a husband. It is my job as a father that if my children and my wife are in trouble, it is my job that even if it means my life, that I protect them at all costs, even if it means my life. That's the love of God. That's what God did for us. He said, I'm going to, even if it means my life, and it did mean God's life. It did. It meant God's life. But he said it in the word. We read it in the word. Let this cup pass from me. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But he showed love. He could have, even when he was mocked, even when he was on the cross, he was mocked. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Come down. He could have came down. He could have called thousands and thousands upon thousands of angels to smite everybody. But he didn't come down. And yeah. People were mocking him, but you know them demons, them spirits were mocking him. Yep. Anybody at that time that was standing there at Calvary that was mocking God, them spirits down on the inside of them demonic spirits was mocking God. Now, he could have came and smited everybody, the spirits, the people, and everything else, but he hung there. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Come on down. And I could just see them mocking him. But out of his love, he stood there. He had all power even then to come down from the cross, but he did not come down because he thought about you. If you were the only one on the face of this earth, he would have done it just for you. That's how much love he had for you and for me. That's how much love, that's the identity of his love for us. That's the identity of his love for us. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. When we love, we must love unconditionally. Amen. We must love unconditionally. Love never wavers. Love never wavers. Do you not know that with love comes life? In love is life. Well, you might say, well, how is love in life? Well, I can tell you. We read that God is love, right? Okay, watch this. In John chapter 14, verse number 6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So now we know the identity of love. And we know that this is what there's an old song that says, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Do you not know in the last days, the Bible says the love of many shall wax cold. Love for people should wax cold. I think that's in Matthew chapter 24, where it talks about the beginning of sorrow. Amen. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing y'all, when will we see the end of the world? And Jesus starts naming off these things that's coming, and we see it today. We see it today. Amen. And actually, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, I'm going to read it to you. Amen. Because I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you in verse number 10 and in verse number 12, just to show you that in this day and time, there is less love in this world because we're living in the end times. That's why that song, the songwriter said, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. Well, and that's why a lot of people don't know the true identity of love. But let me read it to you real quick. In Matthew chapter 24, verse number 10, I'm going to read verse number 10 first. And it reads, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And this is what verse number 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity, because of sin abounding in the earth, the love of many shall wax cold. What does that mean? The love of people. The love for people shall wax cold. This is why we see, because of sin. It's because of sin being on the earth. This is why we see the tragedies that we see. Uh-oh. I saw a person on TikTok say, well, if God loves us so much, why is all of this tragedy in the world? Because of sin. You had nothing to do with it. But because of sin being put into the world, By one man did sin enter into the world, and that man is Adam. Because of his choice, sin came onto the world. And that's why we see so many tragedies, because of sin, the thought of sin. That's why the Bible lets us know He'll keep your mind in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. Sin, the thought of sin can only be carried out but by first that man being tempted in his mind. It starts with temptation. The same way Eve was. Eve was tempted. Eve gave in to the temptation. Eve sinned. She then brought it to her husband, which was Adam. Adam then was given the fruit, that forbidden fruit. And Adam gave in to his temptation that was given, the temptation that was given unto him, and he gave in, and he ate of it. And that brought sin into the world. Because of sin, iniquity is sin. Because of sin, this is why the love is waxing cold. This is why we see people hating so much. And it says it in verse number 10. That's why I read verse number 10. Because it says that, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Look, there are people out there hating because of somebody preaching truth, and their spirit is upset. Whatever spirit that goes against God's will is in that person then becomes offended because their spirit is upset. I done seen it. I done read about it. I done heard about it. I done seen it in my own personal life. I have literally, and this is my own personal testimony, I have literally had a person tell me to my face, I do not like what you stand for. I do not like this. I do not like that. And I'm going to do all I can to do this to you and do all that to you to make sure that you have no rest and no peace. Literally. They literally in my face stood directly in my face and told me this. To my face. I don't like what you stand for. I don't like what you do. None of that. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm going to do all I can to make your life miserable. Okay. That's where the love of many is waxing cold. And that's because of sin. That's another reason why mankind can't tell the difference between love and lust. That's another reason why they can't follow truth. Uh-oh. Love is truth. We read it. Amen. God is love. God is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, love is truth. People that do not understand truth do not understand love, true love. They don't know the identity of love. They think they know, but they really don't know. And the only way a person knows the identity of love is in the pardon of their sins, because they don't know. Why? Because iniquity abounds. Where iniquity is, the love of many shall wax cold, which means you won't have love for a person. What you think is love is really not love. Amen? The identity of love is what love is, and it's God Almighty. You cannot love an individual. You cannot love your husband. You cannot love your wife. You cannot love your children the way they need to be loved without the love of God. There are so many, and I'm going to show you this. You might say, well, I can love my children without the love of God. No, you can't. No, you can't. I'm going to give you an example. Why do you think some of these parents are killing their children? A child can't love their parents without the love of God, really. Why do you think these children are killing their parents? Because they ain't got the love of God in them. Uh-oh. They ain't got the true love of God. When you have the true love of God, you have the love of God with the pardoning of your sins. You know him in the pardon of your sins. That's knowing that you know about. When a person knows about, there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing about the love of God and knowing the love of God. There's a difference. There's a big difference. Because you know of him in your sins. You know about him in your sin. You know of him in the pardoning of your sins. You really don't know him. You really don't know the true love, the true method of the identity of love until your sins have been remitted. We just read it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. And shall hate one another. They don't know love. Why? Because in verse number 12, and because iniquity shall abound, those words right there mean a lot. The love of many shall wax cold. You knowing God for yourself, knowing the true identity of love, that's why so many people get into these relationships and don't really know what a real relationship is. Because they don't know what love is. They think they do. They're looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. They think sex is love. They think, no, that ain't love. For all the young people that are listening to me today, sex is not love. If a man or a woman tells you, a man or woman asks you, will you have sex with me to prove you love me? That's not love. And I'm gonna show you why sex is not love. It is a form of love between a man and a woman for a husband and a wife to come together as one. That is what It is two reasons for, there are two reasons why a husband and a wife use, there's two main reasons why a husband and a wife, and this is why I say a husband and a wife, not a girlfriend and a boyfriend, use sex as a form in their marriage for love. Number one, it is the procreation. It is for procreation. And it is for that husband and that wife to become one flesh, one spirit. Why? Because when you lay down with somebody, you are not only taking on, you're taking on that person's spirit, and that person is taking on your spirit. There is a spiritual thing when you have sex with somebody. That's why I said sex is not love. It is to show love towards your husband or your wife. It is a form of coming together as one body, one flesh. But it is not love altogether. and it is for the procreation. What is the procreation? Creating children. For procreation of family. That's what it's for. That's what the main, those are the two main sources of what sex really is. That's what it's used for. But they have taken the lust and turned and tried, society has used sex and lust and all this stuff, and they put it in this one big wrapped so-called gift and said, oh, this is love. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not love. It's not love. You, a woman get pregnant and the man say, well, the woman gets pregnant, I'm going to have a baby with this man, so maybe he'll love me more. No, that's not, no, that's not love. You do not need to have a baby to prove you love somebody. You just procreating. That's all you're doing. That baby will not make that man or that woman stay around. And some men, and let me tell you something, that's not what I'm getting ready to say is not love either. Some men will trap women, and some women will trap men by having a baby with them. That's not love. That's not the identity. That is not the identity of love. That's not. That's actually a form of witchcraft. That's what it is. Because you're trying to manipulate somebody. It's a form of witchcraft, and it's ungodly. And anybody who participates in it, you're performing witchcraft because you're trying to manipulate somebody. Any type of manipulation, any of that, that's a form of witchcraft. You're trying to trap somebody just to make sure that they don't go somewhere else. The devil is a liar. The devil is a lie. You using your big name to sleep with somebody, that's a form of witchcraft, and the devil is a liar. Ain't no sanctification in it, and God ain't pleased with it. You got a young, I done seen it throughout my years of living, in my almost 36 years of living. I done seen it happen. Done seen it happen. To friends, to family members. I done seen it happen. Where, I'm gonna make them have this baby. You manipulating somebody. And in the midst of the lust that you take partaking in, you telling them that you loving them. You love them. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. And don't let nobody tell you. And look, let me say this, because this is on my mind too. Any form, whether it be mental, verbal, physical, is abuse, is not love. It is not love. That is not what God designed for a man or a woman. Oh, I love you, so I'm going to knock you in your head. The devil is a lie. That ain't no love. You made me do this. You made me knock you in. Ain't nobody make you do that. You did that your own devilish self. You did that your own devilish self. And I said, yes, I did say your own devilish self, because you had to have a demonic spirit in you to do that, to put your hands on somebody. And look, I told my boys, because my oldest and my boys are starting to like little girls and stuff. And I told them, I said, look, you're not dating anybody right now. You need to date them books, date them school books. Amen. You need to date them school books. But once you become of age to start, you know, courting a woman, unless you putting your hands on them to hug them and to show them unconditional love, you don't need to put your hands on them. And actually, technically, the Bible declares it's not expedient for a man to even touch a woman. It's not. Even when you're courting them, you ain't supposed to touch them. It's not expedient for you to. Why? Because of emotions. Because of your emotions. Because of that woman's emotions. Because of that man's emotions. See, I'm getting to the nitty-gritty of what the identity of love is. You know what? Let me tell you something, ladies, and men too. Cover it up. I'm old school when it comes to this. My pastor, my former pastor, and my dad and my mother, they're boy. My former pastor used to carry pins on her, safety pins. Cover it up. Should nobody be able to see everything that you got? Leave something for the imagination. You trying to attract a man? Leave something for the. Let him love your mind, and not just curves. Let her love your mind. Let her love your demeanor. Let her love your attributes about you before she does. Come on now. Because all of them looks in the waist and the abs and the muscles and all that stuff, all that's going to wither away one day. And then what you going to have? What you going to be left with? That's why I said give them something to submit to. You got to give them something to submit to. Let them love your mind. Let them love your love for Christ. I had one time way before I got married, I was at my former church, and two young ladies that liked me. And both of them said that they liked me because of my love for God. All right. One of the young ladies, and I've told this story before, one of the young ladies, she proceeded to, like I said, it's not appropriate for a man to touch a woman. Amen. And it's not appropriate for a woman to touch a man either. Emotions. Well, this young lady proceeded to try to touch me in the wrong way in church. And so I went to I didn't go to my pastor because I knew my, boy, if I had went to my pastor, Jesus Christ, it would have been all she wrote. Oh, boy. Pastor Dorothy Matt Gordon. Amen. Amen. Love you, mother. But I went to my parents and I said, Mom, I went to my mother and I said, Mama, I know the Bible said, doesn't the Bible say that it's not expedient for a man to touch a woman? And my mama said, yeah, it's not expedient for a man to touch a woman. Why you ask that? I said, well, Mom, I have a problem going on. She said, what's going on? And I told her about this young lady, you know, touching me in the wrong way in the middle of service. And I told her to keep her hands. And I got mad when she did it. I told her, keep your hands off me. And I said it just like that. I didn't mean to say it like that, but you did. Don't touch me. And I didn't mean to say it like I was so, you know, big and macho and I'm just this perfect person and I don't need to. No, it wasn't like that. No, you keep your hands off me. Don't touch me. Because I know my emotions and I don't know yours. It's not expedient for a man to touch a woman and ain't expedient for a woman to touch a man. And then also, the Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly. me praying for folks. Because, why? The transfer of spirits. I don't know what spirits you got on you. So don't touch me. And I really did it for the purpose of you trying to lustfully touch me. I don't want your lustful spirit on me. Don't touch me. I'm just being blunt, y'all. And they went, my mother came to me and said, yeah, you in the right. And she asked, she said, do you need to go to pastor? I said, no, I don't need pastor for this one. I told that young lady, I said, next time you touch me like that, in that unappropriate way, we are going to your pastor and my pastor, and we're going to have a meeting. Because I don't appreciate that. I didn't touch you. You don't touch me like that. And then you did it in church. You said that you like me. That's fine. But don't touch me. Don't do that. Now, the other young lady that liked me, then we went out a couple times. We chaperoned, dated. Chaperone, you know, went on chaperone dates or whatever. But it was never a lustful thing. It was never a lustful thing with that. And I can say to this day that it was not expedient. It's not expedient for anybody. Because of the transfer of spirits, because of all of that, we don't do that. It's not good. It's not because in this thing called love, you want to be respectful to anybody that you come across, whether they be a relationship, friendship, mother, father, whatever. In love, you'll be able to show respect to them, anybody that comes your way. Now, I want to use these last few minutes, last couple minutes that I have. Anybody that's in the chat room, anybody that's in the room today, you want to leave a comment, you can at this time. Everybody is unmuted. Amen. If you want to leave a comment about the topic today, you can at this time. Amen. Amen. Anybody that wants to leave a comment. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to dive in more into this. When you talk about the identity of love, the identity of love is profound. The identity of love is a profound thing because when you identify love, you know what true love is. When you get the identity, when you understand the identity of what love is, nobody else can tell you different. Once you've been loved by love, nobody else can tell you different. I'm going to say that again. Once you've been loved by love, true love, unconditional love, nobody else can tell you different. I don't know who I'm talking to today. I don't know if it's a man or a woman or a child. But let me tell you this. As a husband, as a father, I know what true love is. I know how to show true love. I had an individual. They was getting under my skin. And I told this individual, I said, look, I love you. Because they was telling me all of their issues, and they probably, and there's nothing wrong with listening to people's problems. But in this case, I was listening to this individual, and I told this individual, look, I am not a human garbage can. This mess that you're talking about, because they was talking about another individual, and when I, because I've witnessed some of the things that this person was talking about, and I began to tell them, I said, yeah, because they was telling me about all this person had said and did to them and everything, and I said, well, guess what? Yes, they are in the wrong for what they did and said to you, but you are also in the wrong for doing what you did and said to them. Love covers a multitude of sins. It does. And love will also show you when you're wrong. Love will show you when you're wrong. Now, there are times in my life, there were times in my life, and I'm talking about personally, because I don't sugarcoat nothing. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Amen. Because everybody love to be right in this world. And it seems like nobody loves to be wrong. But you learn from your wrongs. And see, when growing up, there was times where in my life where I was wrong. And I remember the relationship, and I don't talk about this a lot. I don't talk about this a lot, but I'm the Lord is pressed it up on my heart to share it. My relationship with my biological mother was very, very strained at times. And it took me, even in me calling myself saved, it took a long time for me to love my mother. To really love my mother, because my mother, I was not raised by my mother. I was raised by my father. My father raised me into the man you hear today. And at almost 36 years old, I can honestly say I love people. But because when you hate somebody, and I'm saying this from my own personal going through it, I went through this. So this is not something that I read or something that somebody has told me. This is what I've been through. When you are not given love the way, like growing up, from the sources that you need love from, it tends to make it the love that you get from your parents, it tends to make or break a child. When a parent is absent, whether it be the mother or the father, the mother and the father both need to be present in a child's life. Because it affects that child. This is something that I have not read, but this is something that I've lived. Okay? So I'm about to explain this in the best way I know how. In loving, in understanding what love is, you have to first be shown what love really is. And when you have love coming, when you have love coming from one area and not the other area, it brings a void in between that individual. It leaves an emptiness there.
Teach now.
It leaves an emptiness there. And mm-hmm. that emptiness can fill with resentment. It can fill with mm-hmm. hate. It can fill with all of that. I've been there and done that. I can honestly say that my father told me, love your mother in spite of what you do. In spite of what she's done, in spite of whatever, you love your mama. But it was hard for me, and I say this as a testimony now, it was hard for me to love my mother because me and my mother's relationship was strained, and it was hard. And there was an issue that took place, and I'm not going to say it over the air because everything's not expedient. But there was an issue that took place where it turned from dislike for my mother to hate for my mother. And not only I let that hate sit in me for so long that hate began to show towards other people. And it did not matter who was loving me. I thought that they was out to get me. That's why I said earlier, when you don't get love from a source that you know you need to get love from, it can be a strain on that child. That's why it's good for both parents to be in that child's life, for the mother and the father. That's why we have so many men growing up hating and doing things that they ain't got no business doing. That's why we got so many young men doing so many things, crazy things that they ain't got no business doing, because they don't have the love of their father or they don't have the love of their mother. They're growing up. The first love that a man should feel is the love of their mother. From the female perspective, it should be the love of their mother. That mother should show that man what a female's love really looks like. The man should show the daughter what a man's love really looks like. This is why relationships are strained when it comes to a man and a woman. These young girls that are getting into these relationships with these men, the reason why they don't know what true love is because they have not been loved by their fathers.
Hallelujah. You better teach.
The love has been absent. And this is not mm-hmm. something this is not something that I just read. This is something that the Holy Ghost has given me right now. The love
Come
of
on.
The family is not in the mix. And this is the
Come
reason
on.
Why we have so much things going on in society. Society has said love is this way and love is that way. This is why we have so many, and I'm about to go there. I ain't sorry about this one. This is the reason why we have so many people going to the same sex.
Come on, come on, come on. Teach now. Teach, and don't apologize for the truth. Teach.
Because they're not finding the love from the opposite sex.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Because the love
Hallelujah,
from the opposite
Jesus.
Sex has been slain somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have been
mm-hmm.
abused from that opposite sex. Or they have been, something has happened. And that's why I said, I'm not apologizing for them, because it is a sin in God's eyes. It is a sin. Homosexuality and lesbianism is a sin. But let me tell you this, you must love them in spite of. Despite of who they are, despite of what but we must teach in love.
That's right.
God
Come on, young minister.
That God loves them.
Hallelujah.
That God still loves them. And yes, you know what? I had a person tell me, and I got so crazy with them. They said, well, I was born this way.
Okay.
All right. You were born this way. All right.
Mm.
I'm going to say, well, guess what? You were born that way because you know what? You were born in shaping in iniquity. So guess what? The Bible says it's be born again. Be born again. So you can come out of that. We have to show the love of God in every area of our life. This is why Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What does that verse mean? Do all in love. When you own your job, do it in love. When you own, come on, the identity of love, y'all. When you at the grocery store and somebody getting mad at you because you got in the line before they got in there and they getting mad because they thought you cut them but you really didn't, but they getting mad at you. You still gotta love them. You still gotta love them. This is something this because if you let hate, we read it earlier. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 10, and they shall hate one another. You know why they hate one another? Because love has been strained somewhere. The reason why we have all of these killings and stuff, I'm going to go there today. We just had a mass shooting. I just saw on TV about a mass shooting happening, I think, in Maine, where a man walked in a bowling alley and in a bar and just started shooting up people. And they said he had a mental illness. That is not a mental illness. That is a spirit. That is a spirit. I'm gonna call it what it is today. Somewhere in his life, the love of many has waxed cold. The love has gone out of him. And the only way that we can get back to loving people the way they need to be loved is that we follow God. Because God said it in his word, he is love. And he is the way. He's the way to love. He is love. He is the ultimate love. He is the unconditional love. He is the definition of love. This is the identity of love right here. Love personified. We can't get no better than that. You can't get no better than that, than the love of God. And you have to have him on the inside of you to be able to understand and identify what love truly is. And if you can't get him on the in, if you do not have him on the inside of you, as well as the Bible says, through repentance, through baptism in Jesus' name, through speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, through receiving the Holy Ghost, you do not know love today. And I commit, I dare you, I double dog dare you to truly know. Because some people say, well, I know Jesus. You do not know Jesus truly until you know him in the pardon of your sins. And until you know him in the pardon of your sins, you know about him, but you don't know the true definition of love until you know him in the pardon of your sins. This is why the world is strained. This is why we see so much chaos going on. Like I said earlier, there was a lady on TikTok that said, why is there so much calamity in the world? If God loved the world so much, why is there so much calamity? We just read it because iniquity abounds. Because sin abounds in this world. That's why we see so much calamity. But if we can understand that God has made a way of escape out of his love, God has made a way of escape out of sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is perish? You're perishing in your iniquity. You're perishing in your sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is what love truly is. Love brought us out, brought out of the muck and the mire. Love can bring you out of the muck and the mire of your life. God wants to bring you up out of that. He wants to bring you up out of that situation, out of that turmoil, out of that mental illness. He wants to bring you up out of that. But you got to get in him. You got to understand it with him. You don't know how to undo the mental illness, to deal with the depression, to deal with the drugs and the alcohol abuse and all of this stuff. You don't know how to deal with the domestic violence. Let me tell you something. Get in Jesus, and he'll lead you and direct you. He said he is the way, the truth, and the life. He'll lead you. He'll direct your path. But he loves me. He hit me, but he loved me. That ain't love, baby. That ain't love. That ain't love. Well, I know he loved me because I done had a baby by him and everything. True love will not put you in predicaments like that. I don't know who I'm talking to today. True love will not put you in predicaments that will harm your life. True love will put you in places that will put you on mountains. That is why the title of this show, The Summit. The summit is the highest peak of a mountain. You'll have the highest peak of your life. You'll see the highest peak of your life. And when you get in the love of God, you'll be at the highest peak of your life. You won't be in the muck and the mire. Now, when you're walking with God in love with him, we got to fall in love with Jesus. Now, when you fall in love with him and you start serving him and honoring him, will you have bad times? Yes. Will you? It won't be a flower bed of ease, but you'll go through some stuff, but you'll be able to go through it with so much peace. So much peace and so much contentment, so much, you'll have so much peace, you'll be able to sleep in the midnight hour. You won't be getting up tossing and turning. I'm talking to somebody today, and I'm sorry, we about done, we only got a couple minutes, but I just want to minister to you. In these last few minutes that I have, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but there's somebody that's listening today. You've been tossing and turning in the middle of the night. Can't understand why I can't get no sleep, why I can't get no rest. You're going over here looking for love. You're going over there looking for love. You're going over here looking for peace. You're going over there looking for peace. Baby, it's time to stop running. God dealing with you, baby. God is dealing with you. Young man, God is dealing with you. There's a young man listening right now. I see it in the spirit. There's a young man listening right now. God dealing with you, son. There's a young lady listening. God dealing with you. I see it in the spirit. God is dealing with you. That's why you tossing and turning in the middle of the night. That's why you trying to look for life in all the wrong places, and you ain't finding the life that you want because you can't find it in all that other stuff. You can't find it in that. You can only find it in Jesus. The true identity of love, the identity of love is God himself. And that's the only way you're going to have peace in your life. That's the only way. Young man, young woman, young man, young boy, that's the only way you'll have peace. You ain't going to find it in that liquor. You going to the bar, getting drunk, going to the liquor store, nope, you ain't going to find it in that.
Maybe if I sleep with this woman, you ain't going to find it in her either. I don't know who I'm talking to. But I'm seeing in the spirit. That young man that's telling you, yeah, I love you, you ain't going to find it in him. You better, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. That young lady that's listening to me, and you in that abusive relationship, get out of it. That is not what God ordained for you to have. That young man done trapped you into thinking he's using witchcraft on you. That young lady using witchcraft on you, you need to get out. Get out of that relationship now. Get out. I'm done, y'all. God bless you. I love you. I love you. I only do what the Lord tells me to do, and then I'll shut up because it ain't my show. It's the Lord's. Amen. God bless you all. I love you in Jesus' name. And until next Saturday, if you don't hear my voice again, as my grandmother used to say, I will see you in the rapture of the church, y'all. God bless you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you, and God bless you. Bishop Cook, I thank you for letting us come one more time. Just to talk about the word of God in Jesus' name. God bless you all in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. This is our fervent prayer that you be transformed in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name.